Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Plan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Peace, power, and love, family. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. All right, let's get this thing started. First off, I want to thank all my online listeners and my brothers and sisters in Nigeria, Germany, Canada, and here in the States for listening. I see your numbers are going up, and I do appreciate you all tuning in, especially my Nigerian brothers and sisters. I am actually going to try to get one of my brothers that I met to come on the show. I'm going to reach out to him and try to make that happen in the next few weeks as well. I'd like to pick his brain and as well have him tell you from his own experiences growing up in Nigeria. But I'm looking forward to getting him on the program in the near future. Like I say, thank you all for listening, tuning in. If you are listening online and would like to call in tonight to comment, rant, or whatever the case may be on tonight's topic, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. Tonight, before I get started, but tonight I'm going to talk about a couple of subjects that hit home with me concerning the punk police. So let me give you a disclaimer now. Oh, and also thank you to my Activate Radio family as well. Don't want to leave you all out. But if you have children in the room that may be listening to this show, there may be language on this show tonight. Anybody that knows me knows that I have a great disdain for these coward-ass cops out here killing up everybody. But before I go into my topic, I'm coming to y'all tonight because yesterday was a day that I always just take to myself. It was my deceased son's birthday, and I just took some time to myself to reminisce and just really not be bothered with anything, and just, like I say, kind of reflect and remember him on yesterday. And also, before I get started, I'd be remiss not to send my condolences to the Harris Hall Johnson family for their loss as well. I know that there are many families suffering across this country right now, and I just want to give my condolences to all families, any family out there that's suffering loss, and it's happening so often. But that just goes to my point, and I'm going to throw that in right now, that we need each other out here right now. We got to start leaning on each other. We got to start being more beneficial to one another. Death is a sure thing. And like I say, it's happening daily. And it will one day make it to all of our doorsteps. So I just want to send my condolences and my thoughts out to all families who are struggling with loss, going through loss right now. So I wanted to talk about a case that happened on last October, and it happened in the small town of Wolf City, Texas. And I just wanted to bring an update on this particular case because it involved my step cousin. And I really didn't know him well. He's younger than I, but I knew his mother well, my step aunt, my aunt. But I went to the vigil last year that was held at the store where he was murdered. Murdered by a punk-ass, coward-ass cop, Sean Lucas, who was 22 years old, a rookie on that particular police force, only had 6 months on that particular police force in Wolf City. And mind you, when I say small town Texas, I mean a population of roughly 1,400 people. Very close to where I grew up at in East Texas and Sulphur Springs, not far, about a 30-minute drive away, 40 minutes, give or take. But this particular coward-ass cop, Sean Lucas, had only been on the force in Wolf City for, like I said, 6 months. And within that six-month period, had managed to establish a reputation for harassing the black residents via traffic stop or just making contact, coming in contact with a person of color. Now, I was reading an article earlier, and forgive me because I'm not able to read that article. I'm still rolling, but I'm bringing it to you live. But in this article, his stepdad said that there is not a bigoted bone in his body. Now, let me give you the backdrop before I really dig off into the thick of this punk-ass cop, because that's what he is, a coward. And I call it like I see it, and 90% of these police out here are cowards with guns and badges. Yeah, I said that. This particular cop shows up at the scene. There was an altercation that was happening at this particular convenience store. And my cousin, who was well-liked within that community, like I say, 1,400 people, give or take, and the kind of town where pretty much everybody knows everybody. And he grew up there. He was a football star there. So, like I said, he was a popular person within the community. He did personal training. He was trying to get his own business established, trying to, from what I read, was working on trying to get into the real estate business. So this is a young man, one of our good soldiers, that managed to be taken away by one of these punk-ass cops, my cousin, not by blood, but don't have to be, took his 31-year-old life from him. So now we have a life that's gone, never to be gained back. And mind you, he was unarmed, but there was an altercation that was taking place inside the convenience store between a man and a woman. My cousin, Jonathan Price, being the person that he was, well-known in the community, well-liked in the community, well, no one wants to see an altercation. And from what I understand, there was a man and a woman into an altercation. And I don't know many men that will just stand by. Now, I'm not saying there are not any out there, but I don't know many men, and I don't think I know any men who would just stand by and allow a woman to be accosted. I don't really, it didn't really go into detail if as to the altercation that was happening between them about, you know, punches or whatever, but mind you, there's an altercation going on inside this convenience store between a man and a woman. Enters my cousin, Jonathan Price, 31, physical trainer, well put together young man, stocky. And what most racist white people consider that scary big black man, which is exactly how this punk-ass cop Sean Lucas pictured him. I saw pictures of Sean Lucas, that coward, and he's not a small boy himself. But he's the coward with the badge and the gun. So my cousin enters the store, and breaks up the fight, you know, steps in between. He manages to get everything under control, and the cops have been called by the store owner, but by the time the police arrived, from what the article said, the altercation had ended. The male and the female were still there as well. But when Sean Coward Punk Lewis brought his police pig, no good for nothing, ass into the store, he saw a big black man. And that's who we approached. And there was no altercation between Jonathan and this punk-ass cop. From what I understand, from what the clerk said, when the punk-ass cop entered the store, my cousin, Jonathan Price, reached out to shake his hand and tell him that everything was pretty much under control. But this out-of-control, racist pig cop tases Jonathan. Now, I don't know, it didn't really state how much effect the taser had on him, but apparently it didn't take him to the ground. Not quick enough for this punk-ass cop, Sean Lucas, who is locked up in, mind you, Collin County Jail, awaiting his court date, which is in May of next year. He's still alive. He still gets to see his family. And his stepdad said, had the audacity to say that he's not prejudiced. He's not a racist. And the comments that are being made about him are not correct. Well, I beg to differ. And to his stepdad, you are part of the reason that he is the way he is. So quick to pull a gun. Like all the rest of these punk-ass cops when it comes to us. So apparently, like I say, and I'm just, like I say, this didn't come from the paper, but I'm just picturing this because why else, if he had been tased and went to the ground, I'm not saying that punk coward wouldn't have pulled his gun and shot him while he was on the ground. It has been done. But I'm just picturing him still standing. Long story short, tases him and then reaches for a service weapon and shoots him in the chest. For nothing. For nothing. And mind you, Jonathan was the type of person, got along with anyone. Black, white, green, purple, orange, didn't matter. Great young man, trying to do something positive with his life. Not harming anyone. Not armed. Not a threat to a punk-ass cop with a gun. And that's what I want you punk-ass cops to understand. Ain't nobody a threat to y'all unless they have a weapon. And 90% of the killing that y'all are doing People aren't armed. You all have militarized these police departments, and you speak about fearing for your life? Get the out of here with that madness. That is that type of bullshit that is said to justify your pulling of a gun on an unarmed man. My cousin, step cousin, cousin, all the same. I lost an uncle. Go back to 1995, Denver, Colorado. Punk-ass Denver police. This is why I have no love for these punk-ass cops. And it ain't no good cops. And then that thin blue line that they all choose to abide by. They abide by it. They live by that. Even in the wrong. Now, in the case of this coward, Sean Lucas, he was convicted of murder. I can't believe, really, that he was. But then, to mind you, I'll get off into that in just a minute. Yeah, I'll get off into that. But this is why I'm for defunding these KKK members in uniform, these white nationalists with a badge and a gun, these neo-Nazi practicing skinheads who are filtered within all of these police departments, sheriff's departments, highway departments, because this is not just happening in one part of the country. This is happening all over the country. Not just in Texas, not just in one state. This is happening nationally. This is an agenda, people. This is an agenda to exterminate the black man and the black woman. And mind you, the black woman doesn't have it any easier. She is just as much a target, if not more so, because they can bring forth life. So naturally, yes, they want to extinguish that fire as well. And I'm going to say this and leave it alone. The homosexual agenda is not for us. It's genocide to our own people. And that's all I got to say about that. I'm done with it. But we have got to band together now. Qualified immunity, defunding these militarized white nationalists and KKK members and neo-Nazi members, because they out here hunting people. And like I say, my uncle, way back in 1995, Colorado, Denver, Colorado. And you know, we just had a case a couple of years ago come out of Aurora, Colorado, with these punk-ass, out-of-control, cowardly police. Yeah, I'm going to keep saying it the whole show. So, qualified immunity means that there's leniency. And the problem with these cowardly cops is that they fear no consequence, because there is none. Now, you know, okay, we've had a few get locked up, but there should be numerous police officers behind bars right now, Derek Chauvin being the latest, most publicized case. But I want to break something down. This is what I was going to say a while ago. I want to break something down to y'all, and I want y'all to understand what Minnesota just did a few days ago. And this is why I say we need to do away with qualified immunity and defund these punk-ass police. There's so much more that can be done with the funds that they're militarizing these police departments with, and they're out here playing slave catcher, 2020 version, 2021 version, 2019, all 2000 version of slave catchers. Because their job in the beginning was to bring back property. We're no longer property, brothers and sisters. But they still out here on that slave patrol, hunting us down, killing us with no remorse, taking and ripping families apart. And then they feel like a few million fixes it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. And this is just me. I wouldn't take they blood money. Damn they blood money. I want some skin off of his back. I want him to suffer. And they will pay us off. And then with that payout, in so many of these cases, because you don't hear Breonna Taylor's parents speaking out anymore. You don't hear Trayvon Martin's parents speaking out anymore. When they give you that money, you sell away your own ability to ever publicly speak about that case, your son, your loved one that was lost, ever again. That is what that money does. It's hush money. It's not sympathy money. It's money to keep you quiet. It's money to keep you content in suffering. And I, for one, am sick of us suffering. And like I say, back in 95, my uncle getting gas at a gas station, and these punk-ass police, Denver, Colorado, Denver Police punk-ass department. I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep saying that the whole show. Spot my uncle and decide to do what they do best. And back in the 90s, when the stop and frisk, stop and harass policy was prevalent nationally, especially in the bigger cities, well, these police decide to harass my uncle. And I'll just tell you, my uncle, like myself, my Uncle Larry, didn't play that shit. And why are you bothering me? I'm just getting gas. Long story short, just like most cases, they escalate the situation, because the thing with these punk-ass police and these old racist white folk is they feel like their mentality is we should still be obeying they every command. When they say jump, we jump, not how high. Don't ask no questions. And you're seeing a whole lot of that nationally from those crazy white racist folks, men and women, just harassing black people going about their daily business. Look, what the hell is wrong with you people? And yeah, I mean you people just like you people mean you people when you say it to us. I mean you racist white people. What is wrong with y'all? And don't you understand y'all always so quick to throw up black on black crime, black on black crime? Well, you know what? Fix racism. What about that? Because y'all worried about the wrong damn thing. We know what exists within our community. And just for that matter, white on white crime percentage is not that far behind. And if you dumb white racists would take your thumb out your ass and use your common sense for a change, you would know that people who live amongst each other are probably going to have altercations with each other more, dummy. Anyway, my uncle minding his business, and these cops decided to get physical with him. Not only did the cops handle him, when the punk-ass EMTs showed up, they helped subdue my uncle, who was beaten so bad. I still have the newspaper clipping in my phone. He was beaten so bad, he was in a coma, tubes running off out his nose, hooked up to all kind of machines. And these bastards, these punk-ass Denver police, had him handcuffed to the bed, unconscious, unresponsive, beat to damn near death by him, and not many days after my uncle died because of those injuries sustained. Nothing was ever done to those punk-ass cops. And his daughters were never compensated. Nobody, I mean, that still bothers me. The case with Jonathan bothers me. And what's crazy is it's another one coming. It's another one on the way. It's another one that's going to happen. And pay some hush money, and things will go back to normal, and that'll be that. Damn they hush money. Talk about your loved one. Talk about how rotten these police departments are. Talk about expose how these police departments allow these things to happen. And then too, brothers, sisters, we, you and I, can make this shit stop, period, point blank. True enough. And I was talking to some brothers the other day at the barbershop, and I, you know, I told them, before we can fix what's wrong externally, yeah, we definitely have got to fix what's wrong internally. And we recognize that for the most part. All of us recognize that for the most part. And we don't need to be told that, especially by some white racists whose whole lineage was built on violence. See, and those are the types of white people that I don't get along with, the racist type, the ones who still uphold that old Jim Crow way in the back of their throat. That word is just sitting there. They want to be able to say it so bad and pull out that whip and put us back in chains. And then you wonder now, why are they so quick because they calling the gun. They feel like the police on their side, and 9 times out of 10, these punk-ass coward cops are on their side. Right or wrong, if they have the complexion for the protection, that's who the cops are going to roll with. And we've got to start paying attention to that. And that's why I do what I do, because I want us to wake up, brothers and sisters, and take our places, because there are going to be some things that are going to happen where we are going to be in a position of control. We have got to be ready to take control, period, point blank. We have got to start lining ourselves up now. We have got to start working together now, building now. I was telling these brothers the other day, we've got to get building. We've got to get land. And like when Brother Rakim Bolagun was on the show, and like he said, it's about the brick and mortar, where we can have our own establishments, hospitals, grocery stores, police departments. All these police are quitting right now because they don't want to take the vaccine. I say we need to fill their spots, and we need to be the police fairly, righteously. And damn the way they've been running their system, we can change it from within. And that's why I always say it's important for us to start creating our own new normals in the midst of all this madness that's going on right now, because a lot of things are happening where we can position ourselves to come out on a better side. I mean, this is what I put my energy into this for. I want to see us all come up. I want to see us all doing better than what we're doing now, without suffering, without the pain, the worrying, am I going to lose my life at this traffic stop? Because, you see, that's a fear that white people will never understand. I'm 50 damn 2 years old. Understand me? I am 52 years old, and I don't fear anything, not even these punk-ass cops. But when I'm riding around, going home or going wherever, and one of them happens to get behind me, or one of them happens to pull me over, instinctively, I get nervous and angry all at the same time. Because why? I drive for a living, so I signal, I seatbelt, I do everything by the book. Because in my job, unlike these punk-ass cops, in my job, because I am a professional driver, I am held at a higher standard, even in my personal vehicle. Did y'all hear that? But these punk ass who are supposed to be upholding the law break more laws and should be held at a higher standard. Anytime a cop kills somebody, yeah, they should get triple the sentence, double the sentence that an ordinary citizen would get, because they should be held at a higher standard, because their job is to uphold the law. And if they don't obey it, they should suffer doubly, just like I do, just like my job does me. Wow. Just let that sink in. I drive trucks for a living, carry a weapon. but I'm held at a higher standard because I drive for a living. And we give
these qualified immunity. How about that? How about that? You know, I mean, that to me is just mind-boggling. You know? And they're militarized. And they are I'm sorry about that.
Okay, and not only that,
there are really no thorough background checks on these cops. And I was talking about the case with the young man, O'Shea Terry, a couple of weeks ago. And Bo Tran, the punk-ass Asian cop who shot him dead for no reason. He pulled out from a stop, but that doesn't mean kill him. But my point being, had Arlington Police Department, punk-ass Arlington Police Department, where I used to live, had done their job, maybe he wouldn't have even had an opportunity because he had six or seven maybe infractions. And one happening about 2 weeks before he killed O'Shea Terry. Much like this punk Sean Lucas who shot my cousin dead. And there had been numerous complaints from within the community about how he was harassing the black citizens. And nothing was done. Nothing was done. So you got another case where I guess we'll find out in May. And that's really all we can do is hope that they do the right thing. I'm really bothered by the behavior of society. How we can find how some people put more importance on a damn dog's life. If you shoot a dog 40-something times, some people would have a natural baby. But a black man getting shot 40-something times, it's like, what did he do? Was he a criminal? They're ready to vilify him. Much like they tried to do with Botham Jean. But they just couldn't dig up no dirt. Wasn't no dirt to be found. And I want to say this to all of you punk-ass cops, to all of you racists out here. And when I say that, I'm going to start saying you Trumpers, because that's where the racism lies nowadays with this. With the Trump faction. So all you Trumpers, you know, fix yourself. Stop worrying about what we doing. Y'all always want to point a finger over here, but you never point that finger at your damn self. Y'all not worried about these cops killing us up, but if the shoe was on the other foot, y'all be ready to war with the police. Much like y'all did on January 6th at the direction of Donald Trump.
And that's just another one of those instances where you have the complexion for the protection. Because I was reading an article where there was a brother who had actually been convicted and has been sentenced to 20 years for his part in that January 6th. And that was quick. And with COVID, these courts been backed up and all this and that, but they got that brother and done gave him time just that quick. I haven't heard of any other people, and we all know what kind of people were there, but I haven't heard of any other people being convicted or locked up, given time. So I guess we'll see how that plays out. But, I'm going to tell you what. I know I see I got a call on the line. I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to dig off into to talk about the situation in Minnesota. And I want to break that down so y'all will understand why they reduced the sentence. I don't know. Before I go into my break, I'll just give you a backdrop of this story. It was about probably 4 years ago, maybe now, 5 years ago. I can't remember exactly what year it was. So forgive me. It is an old case, but there was I can't pronounce his first name, but Muhammad was his last name. He was a Muslim, I guess, a police officer. But there was a white lady that had called 911. And, well, when she saw the police arrive, she was running out to the police car, towards the police car, and this brown-skinned policeman shot her. And mind you, I can remember that case. I can't remember the year, though. But I remember that case, and I can remember it not taking long for them to get that brown-skinned man in front of a judge and convicting him and sentencing him. But the other day, they reduced his sentence to, I want to say it was like 47 months or 52 months or something like that. But long story short, they went back and reduced his sentence. So he'll be getting out sooner than he was supposed to. And there's a reason for that. And I'm going to take a quick break. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to keep talking about tonight these punk-ass cops who have taken the lives of two of my family members. And people always ask me why I ain't got no love for them. Well, that's why I ain't got no love for no police. And until they can do better, they'll get none from me, nor my respect. Because in my book, ain't no good cops. You all cowards with badges. You all are simps. You all are KKK neo-Nazi killers, slave catchers, pigs. And you don't uphold no law. You break them more than anybody. So when I get back after this quick break, I'm gonna break that situation and explain why they reduced that brother's sentence, because it wasn't for him. Believe you me, ain't nothing that this system does for us. They'll do something that may benefit us. Well, that may benefit one or two of us, but it will benefit them collectively. And I'll get off into that. If you are listening online and would like to call in and be part of this rant, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. And I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to break that down for y'all. This is the Panther Party Radio Network. And this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Be back after this quick break.
Do you feel that your message, apparent message of love that you brought back from Islam is the real reason they're after you, because you're not hating as hard as they want you to?
Well, I never did hate anybody hard, but I do know that when I wrote that letter saying that there were white people in Mecca, it shook up a lot of Muslims, because most of the Muslims who follow Mr. Muhammad absolutely believed that it was impossible, physically impossible, I should say divinely impossible, for a white person to go to Mecca. And my trip there shattered that image or that misconcept.
Anyone call you directly, Malcolm?
I've been receiving calls ever since I left the Black Muslim Movement.
And what sort of calls, Malcolm? You know, disenchanted and deal with the fact that these men who were your brothers are making threats against your life?
No, because actually it's not their fault. Most of them, now Joseph and the officials, they have a knowledge of what it's all about. But the rank-and-file Muslim brother does not know what it's all about. They are out of religious sincerity. They think that they are doing the will of Allah by protecting a man who I myself taught them was divine. So I don't in any way fault them. But those who are over them and give the orders, and actually the ultimate order comes from Elijah Muhammad himself. As long as I represented the Black Muslim movement as an example of morality, unity, and militancy, as long as I could do that, I represented it. It was when I realized that it could not be represented as that I came on and started working among the non-Muslim Negroes, as I announced in January, and I had no intention, or rather March, and I had no intention of ever even speaking on this. Had they left me alone, you still wouldn't know what really took place.
Why are they threatening your life?
Well, primarily because they're afraid that I will tell the real reason that they've been... that I'm out of the Black Muslim movement, which I never told. I kept to myself. But the real reason is that Elijah Muhammad, the head of the movement, is the father of 8 children by 6 different teenage girls, 6 different teenage girls who were his private personal secretary. The one who first made me aware of this was Wallace Muhammad, Mr. Muhammad's son. And I had stated in a newspaper article about an effort to take my life back in January, and at that time the Muslims denied it. In fact, they tried to make it appear to my brother that I was insane. But on a program in Chicago called Hotline, that's moderated by Wesley South, John Ali, the national secretary, admitted, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, one of these days last week, that they absolutely were going to kill me.
What steps would you take to protect yourself from this threat?
I take no steps. I have a rifle. If anybody comes to my house without a good reason, I intend to try and use it, and that's all.
Right now?
No, I don't worry. I tell you, I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago, and I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
Don't scare Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court? has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him. My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy. And those of you who are familiar with it know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. But if you can't prove that a democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
All right. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Before I went to the bro, if you're listening online, let me throw this in before I get started. Feel free to call in. Once again, number 914-205-5538. You can call in and listen. If you want to make a comment, just hit the 1, and I'll see you come up in the queue, and I'll open up your mic, and you can join into the discussion. Again, that call-in number is 914-205-5538. Okay. Now, before I go off into what's going on in that Minnesota with that precedent, because that's what it is, and we've got to understand that, what's happening. But I wanted to also tell you, in the case of my cousin, Jonathan Price, this punk coward cop, Sean Lucas, had the audacity to plead not guilty. I forgot to throw that in there a minute ago, and it dawned on me during those couple of clips I played that I didn't mention that. And I think that's important to mention because that speaks to the mentality of these coward-ass cops. They don't see any guilt or remorse in killing us. We got to understand this. And the reason that they don't is because they feel like we don't value our lives. Y'all understand that? Let that shit sink in for a minute. The reason they do it is because we don't value our lives, and they pinpoint that shit to us because that's one of their talking points whenever one of them does it to us. And I'm going to tell y'all, too, stop forgiving them killing motherfuckers. Stop forgiving their asses because they don't deserve forgiveness. When you atone for what you have done, you deserve forgiveness. Just like Amber Geiger, this trick killer cop ain't even been in jail a good 2.5 years yet and has already sat before an appeals panel, and I need to go back. And I'm going to bring y'all an update on that, too, because I did a few weeks back, but there was really no new news, and I haven't checked back on that one yet either. Just like in her case, they have no remorse. She done all that snotting and crying, and then you had this weak brother get up and hug this trick that killed his brother. See, I'm righteous, but I'm righteous biblically. I'm righteous eye for an eye. Because see, whenever the racist, in order to get the attention of a murdering racist, you have to speak their language. You have to talk what they talk. You know, if you encounter a Hispanic and he doesn't know English, you going to Google some words so you can talk to him, so you can speak his language, so he'll understand you. You're going to Google enough to know enough to say to him what needs to be conveyed. And we need to convey a message to these coward-ass cops. And I know not all of them are bad, but not all of them are good. And I, like I said in the beginning, I don't subscribe to the good cops, because if there were good cops, there wouldn't be all of this that happens, all of these murders of unarmed black men and women and children and elderly. They ain't missing nobody, nowhere, when it comes to us. Are y'all understanding that? I want y'all to feel that. I want y'all to really, truly understand that, because that affects all of us. And they feel as if, like I said earlier, we're supposed to bow down to them. We're supposed to obey them. That's what's wrong with these punk-ass cops. They don't know the law. They don't follow the law. But they want us to just do what they say, even if it's unlawful. And I got a damn problem with that. And we need to start pulling up on their asses, just like we pulling up on these citizens out here acting an ass, on these racist Karens and these racist Billies. Just like we pulling up on them, we need to pull up on these police departments in the same fashion and let them know that we are no longer going to keep being gunned down when you are here to protect and serve. See, we got to get an understanding, and then we got to make what we want to happen happen. We can't keep twiddling our damn thumbs, sitting on our asses, expecting something to happen when you ain't doing shit. Nothing from nothing leaves absolutely nothing. Nothing plus nothing equals nothing. And right now, that's what we got, nothing. And that's why I was expressing we need to create new normals. We need to create. We created and built all this shit for them. We need to do some shit for us. It's time for us to do for us and police ourselves, govern ourselves accordingly, get rid of the elements that's pulling us back, be it internal or external. Okay, I just wanted to throw that in, though, how he had the audacity to plead not guilty, you know? And I'm just to a point where this just damn this whole system. And especially this non-functioning justice system. That shit don't work for us. And I'm to a point where we need to exercise our right, taxation without representation. And that's what we do. We pay taxes like every damn body else. We're not represented out here. We're not treated as equal out here. And that's why I say we need to start taking our money away from this system. An effortless, effective game changer, especially for us, because then we can reap the benefits and we can stop begging them for some shit that they ain't gonna give us anyway. Okay, now what I was going to say about the precedent that has been set in Minnesota, and I want y'all to understand that they didn't do that because they felt sorry for that brother. Y'all understand that Derek Chauvin has already filed for an appeal hearing. So understand, he got 20 years. Now, with this hearing that just happened with this brother Muhammad, and his sentence being reduced, sets a precedent now. And that's a precedent that can be used legally anywhere now. So what that effectively does is opens the door for Derek Chauvin, if he wins an appeal, to have his sentence dramatically reduced, which, in my thinking, 20 years, he was probably going to do half of it, maybe. But now with this that happened the other day, that sets a legal precedent. And that's why I say this system ain't worth a shit. And it don't work for us. Anything that's done legally may benefit us, but it's going to work for them. We may reap a few benefits, but it ain't going to work for us. And they make sure of that. So that's why I say it's important that we understand how much we need each other. That's why I stress the importance of working together. And that's why I stress the importance of group economics and allowing your money to work for you. And stop having to bend over, stoop, and slang boxes and do whatever it is that you're doing on the plantation. It's time for us to build our own businesses, work for ourselves, put capital back within our communities. It's important that we do that and support one another, work with one another. And then when these cases, like with my uncle, like with my cousin, like the so many, both of them, George, Tatiana, Tamir, Trayvon, I mean, and the list goes on and on and on. And I will even throw Khalif Browder in the mix, even though he hung himself. The system killed him. This damn system killed him. And I know by now you all should know the story of Khalif Browder, a young man who was locked up behind a damn backpack by them funky-ass New York punk-ass cops. Stayed in prison on Rikers Island, I believe it was, amongst grown-ass men for 3 years. And two of those years were spent in solitary confinement. And then they finally let the young man go. Well, he ain't right now. The system done killed his mind, his spirit. He gets out, he can't function in society. He's mentally disturbed now because of the treatment that he received. And what does the young man do? He can't deal with it. He hangs himself. And to me, that's just another police killing, another systematic killing of a black man. And I'll just say this, I've never been to prison. I've been in jail. I've been in solitary confinement for a few days. I can't imagine being in solitary confinement for 2 years. Hell, the few days I was in there, it affects you. And if you don't have anything to read or write like I didn't, it's even worse. That's why I say we got to start doing what we need to do, brothers, sisters, to change this damn game. Because that's what it is. It's a game to them. It's a game. They like control and power. And mind you, power and control comes to all. Some abuse it, like now. And like I say, with these laws that are created, may benefit us temporarily, but they don't work for us long term. And that's where the problem comes in. Because we need long term solutions. And it's up to us. I'm just to a point now where I don't even want to keep asking this system for what it owes, for what we deserve. And so what that I heard, I was watching, well, listening to earlier, a documentary, and I heard brother, actually, one of those coons on Fox News, talking about, I claim my blackness, but none of us alive now were slaves, and none of the white people alive now were slave owners, which is a true statement, very true. That's a fact. I can't discount it, dispute it, or none of that. But what I can say is this. There may not be any of us enslaved today, and there may not be any slave owners today, but the system that created that is still in place. And the people who were supposed to benefit from that are still the beneficiaries of it. And those who were not are not. Are still in the struggle, are still begging for that 40 acres and a mule. And I'll still take that 40 acres and a mule. But the thing is, they are not willing to give us nothing. But I want y'all to pay close attention to this contradictory-ass system that we live within. Watch and see. Pay close attention, because we've got some Afghanistan refugees who are going to be relocated to this country, and they have already allotted them land. So I'm sure if they have already allotted them land, they have already allotted them money as well. So why do we always get to watch everybody else come up? And then my thing is this, we can fix each other. We can help each other and start building together, and then we don't have to worry about their system like our ancestors had done. We know now, though, that when we start building, we need to defend what we build, protect what we build. You know, because that same evil, devilish, racist spirit is still here right now. And if we start building collectively, that same racist, devilish, envious spirit is going to come to the surface again and try to take what's not theirs. And there were so many land grabs back in the day where some of our ancestors were fortunate enough to have pulled themselves up by the bootstrap, purchased land, and then you have a racist, envious, devilish spirit come along and ravage it and take it and claim it as their own, just like they did with this country. But that's another story. But everything that they have obtained, they've taken it by force and allowed others that look like them to take it by force. And we've really got to, like I say, pay attention to what's happening. And we have got to start positioning ourselves to win and stop always coming up on the short end of the damn stick, because we've done that enough. And we know how to come out of it. So there's no reason why collectively, when we put our minds together, we won't achieve. We won't rise. But we got to unite first. And like I was saying, you know, these cases that I brought to y'all earlier, you know, talking about my uncle and my cousin, I mean, we've got the power within ourselves to make it stop. Within our community, we've got the power within ourselves to make it stop. And within our communities, there's a need for reconnection, a strong need for reconnection, relearning, recreating. Because don't let this system of this country tell you that we don't have a culture. We have a culture, a very rich culture. They want it. They want it. And when I say they, yeah, I'm talking about them people, them racists. They want to be us. They just don't want to be us. They don't want to suffer. But everybody, just like everybody has their turn at power and control, everybody is going to get their turn to suffer and struggle as well. Mark my words. Everybody is going to get to taste a piece of the pie that they ain't never think they'd have to taste or get to taste. And that all happens when we come together, when we do what we need to do collectively. We stop the violence. We stop the police brutality. We cancel that qualified immunity. We make some headway on defunding these punk-ass police departments that are doing nothing more than military exercises throughout our neighborhoods, hunting exercises throughout our neighborhoods. And my brothers out here, my young brothers, stop helping these punk-ass cops. You understand me? Stop helping these punk-ass cops do their job. Let these punk-ass cops do their own work. Let these KKK members do their own work. Stop helping them. You part of the problem. You killing your own brother, you part of the problem. And I mean that. Have a little self-pride, self-respect. Look in the mirror. Look at yourself, and that young man that you beefing with got a mother, sister, cousins, uncles, family that love him just like your family love you. We got to stop doing it to each other, period, point blank. The time for that bullshit has come too, and we need to fix that immediately. We got too much shit to do out here to be doing dumb shit that we do. Over nothing. We don't own nothing. What are we fighting for? What the hell are we fighting for? What do we own? That's my question. Hell, we got to own something. And like I always say, I'm an ex-block boy. I ran the blocks. I did my dirt. I ain't always been where I'm at mentally. Progression is part of life. Change is part of life. Growth is part of life. And we have definitely got growth and got room for growth and room for change. Everybody does. But we need to truly focus on that. Because like I said, when that COVID hit, what the realization was for me is that we don't have nothing. And when times get hard, we gonna still have to lean on this funky ass system that ain't gonna give us shit. And that's why I say it's a must that we learn how to work together collectively once again, like our ancestors did, because they realized how much they needed each other. It's time for us to realize that we need each other. And when we can do that, we can knock walls down. Shit, we can push mountains over. We don't even know the power we possess. We ain't tapped into it yet. It's time to tap into it. It's truly time to tap into who we are, our true spirit, our true calling. Because, see, we the original, the first. And we got to be ready to survive, defend, build. I can't state that enough, because we definitely need our own school system so we can properly and truthfully educate our children and stop giving them this watered-down, whitewashed version of history. Time to stop the indoctrination, and we need to get our kids out of their schools anyway. Like I was telling the brothers the other day, there are more of these armed punk-ass cops roaming these school hallways now, and there's no need for that. The punk-ass police don't need to be everywhere, and they definitely don't need to be within our schools with that neo-Nazi mentality. So, I'm ranting tonight. I got about 30 minutes left in the show, about 35 minutes actually left in the show. I'm going to take another real quick break. And I appreciate you all for listening. If you are listening online still, and would like to make a comment or suggestion or just want to rant about these punk-ass cops, tonight is the night. This show has been dedicated to America's law enforcement and the injustices that they serve to the people that they were sworn in to serve and protect. Yeah, I hope some of y'all ears catch these words and can change y'all's neo-Nazi white nationalist ways and actually start doing your job with some damn integrity, with some morals and some values, some self-respect, because you can't respect yourself. None of you can respect yourself way you disrespect others, and you can't expect respect the way you disrespect others. So if you're listening online, I'd like to be a part of it. The call-in number is 914-215-5538. I'm going to take another quick break. This is the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Let me say, as I've always said, and I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve, that in a real sense it is impractical for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way, and continue to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention.
All right. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. Just listening to that clip, and I, don't get me wrong, I admire Martin Luther King Jr. I admire any brother who stands up and fights for the cause, who gives up his life for the cause, but, you know, who puts himself in jeopardy, much like, you know, what happened with Colin Kaepernick. You know, he spoke out and was silenced. I often sit and wonder, because I've listened to that clip. Oh, I've heard that clip millions of times. And I often wonder, you know, and that's really the sad part about what happened with Malcolm, Martin, Fred Hampton, Medgar Evers, with all of the, you know, ancestors before us. I often wonder, though, how Martin would feel today as far as the violence that we see perpetrated on us. And I'm not talking about the violence that we commit on one another. I'm talking about the systematic violence that's allowed to haunt us. These police departments, these white nationalists, these Karen and Billies, you know, there have been so many clips where you see white men trying to throw their weight around, trying to demand that a brother do something. You've seen it as well with white women, where they are, like I say, expect us to be obedient to what they say. You know, Trump has them in the mindset of when America was great for them. This is what we've got to understand. See, when they say make America great again, they don't mean make it great. Like, that goes back to my point of nothing systematically working for us. And, yeah, when they get to talking that make America great again, they talking about making it great again for them. Not everyone as a whole. And see, this too, for some of you Trumpers, you need to understand what part you play and what role you play for Donald Trump. Donald Trump don't give no more of a damn about you poor white people than he gives about my people. This is what I want you all to understand. This system is about rich and poor. Classism. You know, rich and poor. Middle class has become a thing of the past. Middle class no longer exists. You know, you're either rich or you're poor, and that's done by systematic design for control. And see, some feel as if they have complexion for the protection, but you don't have the money. See, and that's where some of us, as brothers and sisters, get caught up, because we'll see a celebrity do this or that. And I want y'all, I'm going to make a point real quick. Matter of fact, I'm going to make a point, a factual point, because if you can't see it, then you're just blind. But go back to George Floyd and immediately, well, not immediately, but soon after that happened. And I want y'all to remember all of the actors, all of the athletes, just all of the entertainers that were popping up everywhere, riding the coattail. And that's what it was, riding the wave. There were cameras at play. You know, there was attention to get. Everything to an entertainer is publicity. They don't live the life that we live out here as black men and black women. They don't suffer the way we suffer out here as black men and black women. They don't have to worry about their children like we have to worry about our children, because they have the ability to send their children to the best schools, to live in the best neighborhoods, gated communities. They don't have our problems. Now, the difference between now and then is the actors and entertainers back in the 50s and 60s, understood the need for one another. And not to waver, because they were already in the struggle. See, too many of us haven't had the struggle, I don't guess. And then you get those entertainers of today, they not, the entertainers of the 50s and 60s had integrity. They were not going to sell out for a few measly dollars to cost the future generations. Because I used this the other day. Just, I was talking to some brothers. What if our ancestors were as nonchalant as we are about the circumstances that we're suffering through? Imagine if they had been just as nonchalant, we wouldn't have nothing for real right now. But they sacrificed and at least made it possible where we're, I'm not going to say equal, but where we're at least able to move around. Because believe you me, if they had it their way, we would not, we wouldn't even be able to move around freely. Like, and we still don't move around totally free. But at least now we have the ability to move around because of their sacrifices. So I guess what I'm asking is, what are we willing to sacrifice so that those behind us can have an opportunity to make change? We have to be willing to sacrifice something. And just think about that. Had those before us not been willing to sacrifice? And not enough of us are willing to sacrifice. Because you're not going to get LeBron or Jay-Z or whoever to give up their millions to stop participating in this white supremacist system. To stop entertaining Massa. Massa always had loved the way we entertained them. We are not allowed to be equal to them, but oh, we can sing and dance and shuck and jive for them all freaking day long. And that don't bring you no respect. That just show that you know how to coon. And now ain't the time for cooning, nor coons. We are truly prisoners of war, trapped inside of a society that doesn't want us here, would rather see us gone, and we still go along to get along. I don't get that. I don't understand how some of us can see this mistreatment and still be accepting of those people, those races. And we forgive way before it's time to forgive. And like I said earlier, everybody doesn't deserve forgiveness. Forgiveness is for those who atone for their transgressions, and not once within history have we been correctly apologized to. They have never atoned for their transgressions against us. They're so quick to talk about Hitler and the Holocaust, but they don't talk about their presidents and the 400-year Holocaust that happened over here. And that's why I say they have no room to be a moral compass. They have no ethics. This system was built on the blood and sweat and tears of black men and women and children, plain and simple. And that's fact. And we continue to allow ourselves to be pawns in their game when we are kings and queens. I just want y'all to think about that, you know. Like I say, I'm tired of the hashtags. I'm just tired of the contradictions of this system. This is the most contradictory system ever built. And it's not about freedom and justice and equality for all. They don't care about the people as a whole. They only care about what they can get from the people. What can the people do to benefit the system? Keep watching. We have Joe Biden, and he's just as divisive as Trump. Because he's using this virus to divide people. That's what this system is good at. Creating and wreaking havoc. Yeah. That's what this system was built on. And why do we think after building this type of system that all of a sudden they're going to wake up one day and say, okay, let's be fair now. Let's be fair and give everybody a piece of the pie. No. If you're expecting that from this system, yeah, you sleep. You sleep. Policing has to change. Government has to change. I mean, it's no good for us. Like I said earlier, we are a perfect example of taxation without representation. And when I said that a while ago, I meant to make another point, and I'll make it now. Because they're so quick to say about reparations for us that there is nothing. There's always something. And like I said, watch within the next few months. We'll see how much of nothing they have. When these Afghanistan refugees start arriving. Like I said, they don't have anything for us. They will never have anything for just us except violence and terror. Y'all need to understand they don't even want us here. And I don't understand why it is, but to each his own, I'm not even going to bring that up. I'm not even going to touch that one. But we keep intermingling and wanting to go along to get along, and that's not beneficial to us. Like I say, we need to start giving one another the benefit of the doubt as opposed to the other. And we always give others the benefit of the doubt. We never do anything that's beneficial for us, and neither does anybody else. So that means until we do something that benefits us, we're not going to have anything beneficial, y'all. That's my point. And it's time for us to be able to live just a little bit. time for us to be able to enjoy life just a little bit. And then, like I say, by doing that, it provides opportunity. And I'd like to see us really, truly get on this nationally and start buying up land, building businesses, allowing businesses to rent the land, lease the land. Just things that will be beneficial so that we can provide opportunity to our youth. Because honestly, at my age, everything that I'm doing is for my children, grandchildren, period. And we've got to start thinking like that so that they don't have to. I was telling the brothers the other day, you know, I never had an uncle named Sam. I did take the ASVAB test, but then I found a job and had a son on the way and just decided not to go military. And I often think about, because I know during that particular time for me back in 1988 when I graduated high school, and there were a lot of my friends that were going to different branches. And so I took the test. I scored well, and they really tried to get me for about a year. But like I said, I just didn't go. And I just think it's important that we allow our kids an alternative, give them an alternative, as opposed to going to the military and having to put your life on the line just to get a start in life. Because the majority of my friends that went in because there were no real jobs where you could really do the types of things you would like to do as an adult, you know. So the alternative was go to the Army. You get paid, you don't have no bills, you get 3 free meals, perfect scenario, you can save your money. And if you make it out, you know, you can have you a decent start at life. You get good benefits, health and stuff. They've got the GI Bill, you know, where you can go to school. But my whole point is, why must they subject themselves to potential death to get a start in life? That's why I say, y'all, we need each other out here. Our children need us. Our grandchildren need us out here, changing things, making things better than they were, making things work for us, not just bits and pieces, but truly making something and building something that will work for us wholly, you know, where we can cut pieces of the pie and not always have to bring a plate for a piece of pie. We can actually give it out how we want. And then, like I say, it's just important that our kids start seeing us doing something that's going to work for us. These are show-me kids. They got the world at their fingertips, you know, so they want to see things being done. And I think it's important that we allow them to see that. That will give them inspiration and hope, something that we're lacking right now, and definitely something that our younger generation is lacking right now. So, yeah, I just think that we just got to get started. You know, we've got to link up with like-minded brothers and sisters and start doing what we know needs to be done. I mean, because out of all the brothers and sisters that I talk to from different parts of the country and stuff, we all have that one desire to be left alone and to have our own. And every time I talk to brothers and sisters, I tell them we can do it. We just got to get started. We can't keep feeling defeated. And I use that now because my sister Kia, on one show one night, I said we're fearful. And she said, I don't really think we're fearful. I think that we just have a feeling of being defeated. And that really made me think, and I appreciate that perspective because that really did make me look at it differently. And that's why I enjoy when people do come on the show and just to talk and give opinions and perspectives, because there's always so many other ways to look at things. And like I say, you know, I'm thinking fear. And when she said that, it resonated. It made sense to me, you know, because, hell, you're not going to try if you already feel defeated. And honestly, we're not trying. So I think that really makes more sense than fearful. So, you know, we got to get over that defeated spirit. And no one understands that we truly are a special people. And we truly are a creative, intellectual people as well. Understand our strengths and powers. And we don't have an understanding of that. Like I said earlier, we don't even know the power that we possess because we've yet to tap into it. So I think I was going to say, this is Monday, but this is Tuesday. I'm so used to doing my show on Mondays. But, yeah, we have got a lot of work to do, brothers and sisters. And it can be done. It can be done. I'm just not one to believe that we can't, because when I first learned that we were slaves, and that's all that they had to say about us, that bothered me because I knew that I was more than just a slave. My ancestors were more than just slaves. So with that realization really comes the awakening of knowing who we are and knowing, like I say, that we are a special people, that we are a proud people, that we are somebody. And we got to realize that. And we've got to act like we're somebody. We got to be somebody. So I'm going to close it out. I got about 5 minutes. I want to thank everybody for listening online and those who called in to listen as well. I appreciate you. I really appreciate you, and I love all of y'all that support and listen and call in and, you know, just help the show happen. It means a lot to me. And I, like I say, I truly appreciate it. I'll be keeping up with what's going on with this particular trial as it approaches next year. And just, like I say, I'm too going to go back and do a little research and see what's happening with the Amber Geiger appeal, because I haven't heard anything else about it since they had the hearing. And that's been, wow, that was back in April or May when they had that appeal hearing. So, yeah, just things like that that I try to keep up with and let you all know. And like I say, let's start from this point moving forward, holding these punk-ass cops accountable. You know, if the system don't want to hold them accountable, we can hold them accountable. Like I say, we can pull up at these police departments, and we can demand that they do the right thing. It's about our numbers and utilizing our numbers, making our numbers work for us, making our money work for us, making the things that we need work for us, building our own hospitals, clinics, schools, grocery stores. We need all of those things. And within our community, we have people who are knowledgeable in all areas. All areas. Architecture, law, doctors, nurses, transportation, teachers. We have everything we need to build a nation except us. So y'all think about that. Like I always say in closing, it's time for us to plan, organize, unify. We all have a key, and we need each other out here, y'all. So take this week, like I say, let's start taking these days and these weeks and make progress. Link up with like-minded brothers and sisters that you know are interested in businesses, land. That's what's important. That's what we can pass down to our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Leave them something they can work with and build something that will work for them. I want to thank y'all for listening once again. This is the Panther Party Radio Network. This has been the Big Picture. Brother Melvin Siri Jr. I'm out. Peace. Power and low. And I will be back next Monday. If I change and decide to do it, I will let it be known. I will post it on Facebook like I usually do. But planning on getting back into my normal slot on Monday next week. Just took yesterday off for some personal reasons. But yep, I love y'all. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they
the big picture's
worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.